12?
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. I'm Oscar, and with me today, as always,
is Ralph.
Nah,
I was waiting for the is.
I could tell. But I was like, eh, you know. This is episode 81, number 81. And what we're doing today is not our usual foray where we delve into three movie reviews. What we're going to do today is talk about our best movies of the year so far and our most anticipated movies for the rest of the year.
So far. Well, because they have a lot of movies like in December and November, they're like in post-production and you don't know if they're going to come out.
Oh, we're going to talk about little caveats for sure.
Okay, cool.
Yes, right. Definitely. But essentially, this is what that list
That's
is.
Why I added this so far.
So we're doing two top fives. And that's all we're doing today, as well as our usual recent discovery star, which we'll get to in 1 second. And you can reach us and find us at otherpodcast.com for, you know, everything we ever do. And that includes bonus episodes. It includes other top tens we've done for other years and top fives in general. We have many things on there for that in that regard, actually. We're building up quite a nice catalog. We also have marathons. We just finished one, Ralph. And
so proud of us.
We haven't had a chance to discuss it in depth. If there is anything to discuss about, or at least...
That's how I won the marathon.
There was no winning or losing.
Oh, I thought there was.
But city clearly kills any suburban or small town.
I don't know. Everybody from the city wants to live in the suburbs, so...
Mm. That's not true.
Mm. Pretty much.
I don't think so. I think you were saying that because you're a father.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
I went there. Want to stay in the city.
You actually want to stay? Yeah. I mean, I want to stay in the city. Too.
Anyways.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so we had just had a wonderful little marathon where we talked about cities versus, not versus. We made it sound like versus, but it's not versus.
We did, yeah.
Towns or suburbia lifestyle or, you know, small town life kind of thing. And we did quite a bit of movies. We got two Lynches in there. It was nice.
Yeah, we did.
And
that was my apologies for everybody. Yeah,
as soon as the thing is updated properly on the website, it's gonna show you which episodes we talked about in those movies for that marathon. Not to mention our other stuff, which is part of a Spielberg marathon, old classic marathon, animation marathon. We've been doing some stuff there. So check us out at otherpodcast.com. Also, you can send feedback to podmoviecast@gmail.com
and
if you
want
to send us... Yes. And if you want to see, if you want to send us any feedback or questions about anything. Now, what we usually do before is talk about what's the bonus for this month. This month's bonus is going to be Tarantino's.
Huh? What? The Lion King.
No, not The Lion King.
I know.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Old school Hollywood.
Yes. Washed up Hollywood.
Oh, I'm so glad you know that.
I grew
baseball.
Up with
that. Anyways,
huh? So check it out for that and on our website so you find out how you can get that episode soon.
For sure.
Okay. Now, before we get into our first top five, we're going to talk about our recent discoveries. Ralph, you actually have seen a few movies.
For once.
Nice. Actually, I had a hard ad to... I watched one movie, one special, one short.
Nice.
So basically, I went...
Technically, I did see a special also.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to mention it.
But it's okay.
Okay.
I think you're going to mention it.
Oh, really? It's probably the same one.
Yeah.
All right. But you're going to start us off. So what did you see?
I saw The Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald?
Grindelwald?
Yeah. Is it against or of?
Crimes of Grindelwald.
Okay.
From Grindelwald. Crimes from Grindelwald.
Who gives a shit? Anyways, saw that one. Besides the fact that what's his name? The actor's name?
Which
Newt,
actor?
Newt.
Newt? Oh, I always forget his name. He's one of those chameleon actors, right? He's in everything. You're nominated, right?
Yeah, I just
Redmayne?
Redmayne, yeah.
Redmayne,
yeah. Yeah, I just don't like his...
face?
I feel like he plays the same, similar roles in everything. He's got to play, like, an awkward, shy guy all the time. Or super weird, whatever. Anyways, that's the point.
Yeah. That's a lot of actors,
I love the whole... I love all the creatures in this movie. And I like how we're still somewhat... They don't force it. It doesn't feel forced. Some of it does feel like convenient, but it doesn't feel forced. I'm like you're forcing a creature at this aspect. I just feel like from the original Harry Potter movies, it wasn't as pronounced. Creatures weren't as pronounced, or animals or beasts, whatever you want to call them. In comparison to but it's also a different era. So it's. It, like, makes more sense because I guess there are more a plethora of them or something. Or I don't know.
Mm. I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm only 20 minutes in.
Okay, cool. But other than that, some bad edits in this movie. It's just like, how did we get here? Why are we doing... What's going on here?
That's what I heard. I also looked at and Was not interested. We talked about this before.
Yeah. I just, it's like, it kind of jumps the plot, and I was like, why are we doing this? Okay. I still overall had okay fun with it. It's just kind of hard to follow.
Yeah. I remember telling myself when it came in theaters, I'll just wait for HBO.
That's what I think.
And it looked like an HBO movie, too. Like,
yeah. And so, yeah, other than that, that's Fantastic Beasts. I hope part three is better because there's a trilogy.
Oh, it is? And it's a clear setup, too?
Yeah, it's a clear setup.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so the other movie I saw is Stuber.
Which I do want to see.
Okay, cool. Stuber was, hate to say it, it was a paint-by-numbers kind of movie. Don't get me wrong. What's his name brought in his comedic version, his comedy, to it, which is like a mile a minute, just keep rambling on of like being nervous slash being somewhat witty, if you can think of he's witty, but in an awkward moment.
You're talking about You've Got Kumail.
Yeah, very much so. Kumail Nanjiani. So he did bring his own little thing to it. It just felt like paint by numbers.
What about this guy, the other guy?
He felt like your typical...
Dave Bautista?
Yeah, Bautista. He was fine in it, but he felt like your typical also just character. They almost just used him as we're going to use you as de facto...
Badass?
Dad cop.
Oh, dad cop. Okay.
And you're like, oh, okay. And that's all it was. They didn't give him any... They never gave him any more than they needed.
It's a little sad seeing his early career now because it's still in the early stages. You know,
it is.
I just feel like they're
treating him kind of like Arnold in some ways in some of the movies that he did before when he first started.
Yeah, but he's not doing the Arnold badass movies yet. That's the thing is that his badass biggest role is still Guardians.
No, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And he's a bit character. He's not a main character at all. And
right.
I feel like they're misusing him. There's that other movie where he's like babysitting some chick, little girl.
Yeah, I feel like everybody goes through that. That's like Vin Diesel went through that.
I know.
The Tooth Fairy and stuff like that.
No, but yeah. No, you're right.
I'm right, but it's dumb.
It's still dumb. Still,
yeah, I agree.
Doesn't make him look good.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, besides the point. I still had fun watching it. It was still funny. It's just, it was a little underwhelming. And it was just, I know it's supposed to be ridiculous, but meh. I don't know.
Okay, maybe it's another HBO for me.
Fell a little. I mean, you could do it.
Well, it's been hard for me to get to the theaters lately.
Right. I mean, it's a definite AMC, like...
Yeah, I would have one more choice. Already.
Like, I did two movies.
Yeah.
I got one more choice. It's Thursday. It's going to get reset tomorrow. Fuck it. Let's do Stuber.
Like, yeah, I missed an entire week.
That's what ended up happening with me.
Yeah.
Anyways, my last movie I saw was Crawl.
Which I want to see the most out of these.
Right. That one, plot-wise... Like how it's, I always feel like
it's like part survival movie.
That's what's cool about it.
Yeah.
What I liked about this one was, I'm sorry for not mentioning any actors, any directors, anything. I don't have any IMDb in front of me. Normally, I'm really good about that, but meh. I just want to get it off the cuff. It's what's it called? You find out that she's got a history of like, you know, swimming. I'm not ruining anything because it's like the first. Literally, that's how the movie opens. So she's obviously like good in the water. So you know it's like, oh, it's setting up that she's going to be good against the alligators that she's going to go against, you know, or whatever's going to happen. There's going to be close calls, but you can find them believable because it's not your normal human. It's not me. You know, it's not me or you who are just regular average Joes. Mm-hmm. She's an actual swim person who's like trying to make a team. She's like, you know, so like she competitively swims. So she's actually good at swimming. So she can be fast, you know.
Okay.
So it makes a difference, right? They do that setup that I feel most of these type of movies do a setup for. Like, I'm really good at ziplining. So you obviously know there's going to be a zipline part in this movie somewhere, right? No one has that, but I'm just saying. So there is that quick little setup of our back for our character. I did like it, though. And you feel only Floridians would act this way. And be dumb enough to do it. Like, you thought of it right away. And you see a moment of that. You're like, that only happens in Florida.
Yeah.
Only happens in Florida.
And the SOS show, which is another show I produce and co-host, we talked about Jay went to Florida, Orlando for a vacation. He's like, dude, if you don't have kids and go for Disneyland, like, attractions type stuff, that place is accessible. No adults can enjoy that place by itself. Like, and shit like that. Yeah. Just bashing Florida for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there goes that for that reason as well. So, yeah. There was that was fun though. I did like overall how everything worked out. Some of it towards the end, like adrenaline can only do so much for you, I feel. Mm-hmm. Especially with the injuries that were led to some people. But it was cool. Like overall how everything happened. You're like in this tight knit quarters. It was really cool. Like,
yeah, I was really hoping. Yeah, the movie trailer made it seem that way, so that's why made me want to see it. Yeah, I really like the space, the way the space looks.
It is cool. Like, and then they do venture out. I mean, the movie obviously starts off not in the house, so they do venture out, and they do venture out in the grounds.
Oh, yeah.
And they explain everything, why there is like so many alligators and everything. So that was a really cool
Florida meat, man.
Right, exactly. That was really cool. The only problem I had with the movie was I don't know how alligators act with their food. And I wish I did, so I know like how believable or real it would feel. Because there's like quite a few murders with the alligators happening, and I just felt like they would just take a couple bites or kill them and then leave them there. And I was like, oh, is that it? I thought they were going to eat them. You know, like actually, that's what you're there, not just to kill, you know?
So your kid who is into some of this stuff for animals, you never seen an alligator thing with him?
No, I've never gone anywhere besides the zoo.
I've never seen like a program about an alligator.
Oh, we've seen like Planet Earth and stuff, but
nothing.
Whatever
specific.
They have, they'll just show him killing. I don't pay attention. Like, just, you know.
That's curious.
I haven't paid attention anyway, so okay. I just wish I have. You know, like that's about it.
Okay, cool. So that's Crawl.
Yeah, I had more fun with that out of all the movies I saw.
It looks that way.
But overall, still like was.
What I'm truly sad about is that
I was the only one in my theater, and I just pulled out my phone and played games in the beginning because I was like, yeah, it's just plot.
Sometimes I do that too, in the back. Like
I sat in the middle.
There was a movie recently, and I forget what it was.
Because I knew I was the only guy there. Oh, another problem I had.
It's gone.
I went to go see this movie at a theater. I got there, and this is what I mentioned to start off with the story of this, how I went to go see Crawl, because I just saw it today. And I get to the theater, and previews. It's about over. I got there 15 minutes late. I was like, I don't want to see previews. And Stuber starts. And I was like, I just saw this movie yesterday. So I walked out. I go up to the guy. I'm like, can I get your manager? Because this guy's movie's playing a different movie. The theater's playing a different movie. Yeah, sure. And I told him. And the other two guys that were in there came out. They're like, you got the same problem? I was like, yeah, I was in the same theater as you. What the fuck? Like, what do you mean I have the same problem? Like, my eyes work. Like, your eyes clearly work. So anyways, and I was like, yeah. They're like, oh, well, the next showtime is like an hour and a half away. I was like, I'm not waiting that shit. Like, I'm just going to go 20 minutes away to go watch it at a different theater. That's what I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah, so they wouldn't play the right one? Or
no, because those are too far for them to have restarted and everything. Oh. It would be like a 30-minute gap.
Oh.
So it would interfere with the next showtime already. It would interfere with all the showtimes.
Ah, what a chip.
Yeah, so I was just like, can you just refund me my A-list? Because it's A-list. I don't care. Yeah. And they're like, well, we can't because it's like not even in their system.
Yeah,
and I was
it's like rewards for Starbucks. So they can't refund anything either.
And no, they're supposed to be able to. But like, they're like, the movie's like not in their system, literally. Like, something's fucked up or something, right?
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Just for a free ticket, at least?
And I was like, no. And I was like, okay. She's like, I'm going to email the guy. They're going to wait for you over there. I was like, okay, sure. And I got there. I was like, weird, but someone's supposed to email you. And the manager just turned around. He's like, that's you. And I was like... Yeah, that's me. Were they able to refund your stuff? I was like, no, that's literally why I'm having this conversation with you. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. He's like, what seat do you want? I was like, is it empty, the whole thing? I was like, yeah, just right there. Like, that's perfect. And I was the only guy in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had to see all the previews.
All over again.
That I went purposely to avoid. Like, saw all the previews again. I just saw in Stuber. I was like, this is the day before. And I was like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. We always have theatrical stories because we've been to so many.
Right.
We go so many times.
I really...
I also know which, in the particular one, in the Village Crossing Skokie one, I actually know which theater I would have better cell reception. Like, oh, I can play Hearthstone in this if I admit this theater. Because I know which one does what. Like, I know which one.
Right.
I can...
So, you know,
I
sound rude because, you know, the ushers tell you, like, oh, theater 17 is on your right. And most of the time, I'm just like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. And when I went to go see Stuber, I just walked away from him. Because I was like, I know where Theater 5 is. Like, I'm just going to walk away from you.
Yeah.
Because he was struggling. Yeah. Like, oh, Theater 5. He's like looking at me. I was like, I got it. Don't worry. I just walked away. I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh. I was like, yeah, like, I can read. Like, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, the big signs.
There's big signs.
They're not in Roman numeral. Even that I could read. All right. So that's Crawl and Crawl Experience. Now, I have three things here. And in variations of sucky to pretty good. I mean, the last one, I'll talk about it, obviously. One is a movie. It's a Netflix movie called Await Further Instructions.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. It sounds interesting. Do not watch it, though. Okay. A family's Christmas takes a strange turn when they awake to find themselves trapped inside.
Christmas in July.
And begin receiving mysterious instructions through the television.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds great, doesn't it?
Okay. Please enlighten me.
No, so this movie is, it's part Black Mirror, part... one of those sci-fi like movies like The Void or Radius, something like that, which are movies recently I've talked about before, actually. And so I thought it would be kind of like fun or at least good or at least interesting or concept-wise. So the general thing is that they get locked in by this mysterious black wall in everywhere, every inch around the house, covering the entire house. And... obviously, you might assume, like, the whole movie takes place inside the house, of course. But you might assume that, oh, this is the only house. But no, obviously, it's not the only house. And you don't know what it is. And the only good thing about this movie is that the mystery of what is doing this, or why, or who, right, keeps it pretty much to the last third act, like the last 20 minutes. Keeps that mystery nice and doesn't really... It keeps you guessing on that. So that's the only good thing about the movie. The acting, I would say, is okay. And it's about this family who just fucked up British family who, like, have normal fucked up shit. Like, you know, they say ridiculous. They, like, I don't know. I mean, it's Great Britain, so I don't know what their political views are. But they seem like, if they were here, they'd be, like repressed, slightly richer, trashy rednecks, Republican type. That's how they feel to me.
Okay. So they're Brexit supporters.
Except for the one son who is clearly the only good person in there and his girlfriend who is like a nurse and not white and a clear representation of who they turn to against immediately in that movie.
Oh, nice.
Of course. And then the television starts giving them instructions like, oh, this is a warning. Something's in the air. It's toxic. They start telling them to scrub themselves full of bleach, right, to clean the candy of the food.
The bodies of bleach?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it.
I wouldn't have done it either. I wouldn't have done it from the first thing. The first thing it tells you is don't eat the food. It's contaminated. I'm like,
I'm going to try the food immediately.
Yeah. Well, that's me.
That's me too. I would have been like, what's wrong with the food?
Right, but they don't do that. There's a few things where I can see them not doing, but it's just the first two. The scrubbing, the bleach thing, even that I can see people do fine. And then they get dirty syringes to inject themselves with. It gets dropped in from the chimney and shit. Like, inject yourselves with this.
I would have been like, no.
And the nurse is like, we don't know what's in there. These things are not even clean. Why would we do that? And they all do it, of course. And it's one ridiculous, there's a word for it. One ridiculous, like... convincing themselves that it's for the greater good, it's for the government, we're supposed to follow these instructions, the idea of these people following things.
I hope this
just because they're
test
told.
And they all failed.
No, I wish it was more like that, but it's not. I almost want to spoil it here, but I won't, I guess.
Spoil it to me later.
I'll spoil it to you later.
Because I'm not watching.
I won't spoil it, but it gets to...
Sounds lame.
I think on paper, I'm sure it was written really awesome because you could see, I can feel it, you know? Yeah. Like,
I just love
cool,
when
but,
people are getting experimented
but
on.
No.
Like in Cube.
Cube. Yeah.
By the way, we mention Cube a lot. At least I do.
In life, yeah. No,
In life, yeah.
I compare Cube a lot with things. This movie is not Cube, however, and it's it is this family's deterioration and the father's inability to cope with reality, to cope with reason. There's no sense of reason within these people, not with the wife who is just meekly there. And then when she stands up for herself, it's way too fucking late. And everyone who deserves some redemption or even an iota of some sort of like recognition of what's the reality around them. Mm-hmm. By the time that should happen, they just die in ignominiously, and it's dumb and ineffective.
That's lame.
And I hated the ending. I give it 1 star.
Wow.
Maybe 1.5.
Man, I'm really nice in my ratings.
Well, I think I'm too nice in general, but
you know,
sometimes
my de facto was like, I can not like a movie and I'll still give it 3 stars.
Yeah, I can always be in the perspective. I actually put myself in that perspective of someone who would enjoy this movie.
I try to do that as well.
But like, this is maybe meant for preteens who haven't seen a lot of movies, and this is a way to think about like things like this. Like, but I've never seen many of these, so and they're way better. So, Away Further Instructions can die in a fire. Wow. That's on Netflix if you do want to see it. I know I haven't said much about it, but what I said is enough. I saw a comedy special. The Aziz Ansari
one. I did see that as well, yeah.
Okay, so you did see it. It's called Right Now.
Yeah. I almost treated that like a movie. Not a movie, but like a... almost like a documentary special.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very, very close up. Well, obviously
there was some close-ups.
It was a lot of close-ups.
Yeah, they had a cameraman up.
It also felt very personal.
Yeah.
At least his, not his story, but, you know, Morse comedy special is just, even though it is a, you know.
It's funny because, I mean, he does go into some personal details, of course.
Yeah.
But it isn't more than others have done. It isn't like Hasan Minhaj's, because all of his was personal. But, like, it isn't, like, personal like that. It's more like his thoughts are, like, it's like he's revealing private thoughts to us. And the way he talks into the camera, actually, I need to raise the volume a bit.
So did I.
Right? He goes very low because he's trying to, it's almost like he's talking at the dinner table to us.
And I put subtitles on.
Yeah, I know.
And I never do that for specials because I hate it.
Oh, I don't mind then.
So it's like watching live sports or the news.
Well, that one is worse because it has to catch up to it.
Right.
But not in specials.
Some comedy specials, yeah.
Oh, wow. I guess I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, okay. I have. And I was like, nope.
For John Oliver, I take it out for sure because that one has to keep up.
Well, because he's doing the news. Right. So he's like a mile a minute.
That one I take out. Right. But that's everything else I subtitle pretty much. I'm surprised. I didn't know that. Anyway, and I thought it was pretty good. A few points in the thing, and this is not his fault or anything. It's just the way I think of it. His noise is really grating. And kind of annoying.
His what?
His voice.
Oh, yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Mine's is not no fucking walk in the park either. But, and I know that I can get annoying with people. I feel like I annoy people the same way he annoyed me.
Yeah, no, it's, you know? I can see it as, I'm like, I've had enough of you today.
Yeah,
like,
right.
If I had to deal with you with an 8-hour shift, yeah. I'd be like, listen, bro, let's be realistic.
Type it down.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to have quiet time this hour.
Right. I'm going to put headphones in. Shut up. I felt like a little of that. I mean, no, it wasn't like as far as the echelon of specials, it's not up there or anything like that. Who cares? But, and I don't have to compare. I didn't enjoy myself. It is entertaining. I like the turnarounds he does with like daily, you know, like more like political, like not activism, but it's like political, like day to day views and his spin on it. I really like that stuff. I swear to God, some of those when he's like talking really low into the camera like this, into the mic, sorry, like this. That's when like you have to really, I had to rewind one or two times.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't, but yeah.
Just to make sure.
But I did feel like I almost should have. Yeah.
So I don't know if I really like that component. Maybe they should have fixed the audio, or he should have fucking spoken up more. But yeah, I think it was pretty good. It was fun. It was entertaining.
Yeah, I had fun with it overall. Yeah.
You did too. Okay. The last thing I saw is another Netflix. These are all Netflixes. What?
I like that he picked on the crowd.
Yeah.
You did a good job.
With the kid and stuff, that was good.
Well, but the guy who's
his crowd work was pretty good.
One is not enough for him. He needs 1,000 or whatever.
Yeah. No, his crowd work I also liked, yeah. I liked the guy, he kept referencing the name back over and over again. I forget his name. Stewart or something. The other thing I saw was a strange thing out of Netflix. It's called Anima.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard of it.
This is.
Okay. Anima is a... it's like a... contemporary art piece kind of thing, part that, part music video, part short film.
Okay.
It's made by two people, the main of which is, because I am not a, how do I call it? Let me see. That's not the name. No, that's a different anima. You gotta be kidding me. That's a different anima completely.
Interesting.
I didn't know there was multiple animas. This is a movie directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, made by one of the, not Radiohead themselves, it's one of their guys. I forget his name because I'm not a big Radiohead guy. I don't really care about them. I mean, I like them fine. I just don't love them. Here it is. Tom York. Tom York's solo album.
Okay.
Which just released. And this in a short musical film.
Tom York special. But yeah.
Directed by Thomas Anderson. It's a mind-bending visual piece. Best played loud, it says here. I wanted to bring that up.
You know what? I did browse over that. And
how do you have a trailer for a short?
I didn't see a trailer.
It's 15 minutes long.
Wow.
But there's a trailer on Netflix.
So, how was it?
It's a mixed bag. You know, it's one of those things where, like, it feels at times like, should I take more out of this? Mm-hmm. Because of the, you know, Tom York, I mean, I may not be a huge knowing guy about him or a fan or whatever, but, like, he is big in the music business, in the scene.
Yeah, I've listened to some of his
music. He's important to a lot of people, for sure. And Paul Thomas Anderson is very important to me and my film knowledge and cinematic whatever landscape. Mm-hmm. So, like... I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's either of their best work necessarily. I like two out of the three songs they put in there. And some of the visual stuff that's happening in there that Tom York is, I think he's the main dude in it. It looks like a post-apocalyptic 1984 style, like at least it has flourishes of like a 1984 style, like civilization, but like on its lower end, like all the peons in it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, he's moving against the grain a lot. He is fighting these things, and it becomes, you find out it's like a love story with this, you know, this dance interpretation movement. There's no dialogue at all, of course. And as far as that, how that goes, is very easy to get the gist out of. But I never got anything more beyond that. I thought it was just a cool looking, kind of a grungy, like,
have you
not
noticed?
Grungy, it looks nice, but I'm saying grungy leveled.
Yeah.
Music video. And it's three songs. And I like the train thing. I like the narcolepsy stuff. That was good. But I don't think it's any more than that. I don't know why people. I mean, I haven't read any pieces, but I've seen headlines of pieces like raving about it and critically viewing it and all that. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure it's all in there, but I didn't see it. And I don't care.
Okay.
But yeah, it was fine.
I might listen to it.
You know, Paul Thomas is weird. He did that one documentary in India, remember, that we liked?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
And we liked that one. But he's a strange character. He does strange, weird projects here and there.
Yeah.
He really loves Radiohead.
Yeah. That's good.
I think that's it for recent discoveries. So we're going to take a break before we get into our first top five, which is going to be our top, our best movies of the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us.
That's a classic right there.
What does I got five on it mean?
It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
Get in rhythm. There you go.
Okay, let's call the cops.
I did. They're 14 minutes away.
What? 14 minutes? Okay. Okay. Jason, give me the bat.
What bat?
The baseball bat. The bat. There's one in the
corner. Here.
Thank you.
Gabe.
All right, hold on. I got this. Let's try this again.
Gabe.
No. All right.
Gabe.
I got this. Now, I thought I already done told y'all to get off my property, okay? So if y'all want to get crazy, we can get crazy. Now the cops are already on their way. Hey!
All right, let's get started on our top five movies of the year so far. And I will start off this time. Damn, you thought you were, weren't you? It's very simple. Many movies out there. We've been seeing a bunch here. And a lot of these we've covered in the show itself, at least in the recent discovery. Some of these we've, actually reviewed full length. So check us out for that. Number five. My number five here is a movie that will not make any other list ever, not even the top 10 at the end of the year. But I love it so much, I just know that other movies will probably beat it over time. It is Glass.
Okay.
The M. Night Shyamalan movie, real quick here. Security guard David Dunn uses his supernatural abilities to track Kevin Wendell Crumb, a disturbed man who has 24 personalities, and lends them into the psychiatric ward. A huge cast here. James McAvoy, Bruce Willis, Samuel Jackson, Anna Taylor-Joy, Sarah Paulson. A lot of great stuff here. And that Shyamalan's surprising, like, sleeper trilogy of Unbreakable, Split, and The Glass now.
Right.
And I think it worked out really well for me. And this is a movie we reviewed as a bonus. It just came out for everyone, actually, last month, where, unfortunately, I did it with Lexi. That one she helped me out with. So I don't know your exact feelings on this movie. I know that you saw it, too.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people really hated this movie. And I know why it hits people the wrong way. And I think it's a movie that's just, I don't want to say it's beyond our time, so I'm not saying that. I do think it has I feel like it's one of those movies that's going to hit better as time goes on, because we take our superhero movies, I mean, movies in general, or just pop culture or blockbuster hits or whatever, we take them a little too seriously. And this movie somehow blends that serious note that goes a little too far and definitely ridiculous, but also it has a credence to enjoying the single panel, the panel by panel story adventure of a comic book. And I think this movie succeeds in that. And it's really fun. So Glass, that's the nutshell of it. It is my number five. I will defend this movie till I die. But it's not like the best movie ever either. So Glass, my number five.
Cool.
Your turn.
Awesome. I guess, staying with superhero.
Oh.
Which is going to be a trend.
I forgot to say that. We should say that we don't know each other's list.
No, we don't. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good
Sorry.
One. Mine's Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I really did enjoy the movie. I thought it was really cool, really well done. I liked that whole, like, I like her whole, like, control or suppression of her abilities.
Suppressing Superman?
Yeah, essentially. I did enjoy that aspect of it overall. And I like how just you kind of made this character, and you made a character, but you also didn't have to leave her on Earth. You know, that's the problem with Superman. The Superman's always on Earth. And then eventually with the Justice League, when they came on, they finally, like, all right, there's shit to do around the universe and galaxies and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he ends up doing other missions because they're helping out, because they're being diplomatic. And they're like, well, Superman should be the guy to do it, right? You know, so sometimes he's not there.
And also, Earth seems covered.
Right, exactly. Earth does seem covered.
I mean, with the Marvel franchise, Iron Man's there. I mean, Iron Man's doing a lot.
Right, exactly. Right. So, yeah, I did appreciate the Captain Marvel. I like the 90s aspect of it as well, of what's it called? It's just her backstory and everything. I liked it. And it kind of gave us a quick intro to to Nick Fury.
Oh, yeah. Like the closest backstory we're going to get from him.
The closest backstory to Nick Fury, yeah. So it was really cool. And I think it introduced a lot of things. It was a good setup movie. It was a good, like, origin stories. Movie, but it was also a good setup movie for the next phases of whatever they're going to do in Marvel. So, yeah.
Very cool. How does this fit into the Marvel movies in general for you? I don't know if we talked about this.
I don't know. I mean, it beats Hulk. Everything does.
Beats Iron Man 2.
Yeah, but I guess if you put it up with, like, the movies that are, like, intros, like, knowing movies.
Now I know what you mean. Wow, there's someone mowing the lawn right next to me.
Right, yeah. I would say it's probably somewhere mid to lower.
Okay.
In the origin aspect.
Yeah.
Because there's some really good origin ones.
Yeah, I would go.
I like this one a lot. And what I did like a lot is I love Brie Larson. And I love how just very comfortable she felt. She felt like she was herself, which was really cool. She felt like she was just a regular human being. And she never took anything too, like, it was never like this is end of the world kind of thing or whatever. It's never like that with her, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I really liked about the movie.
Okay, so that's Captain Marvel. Obviously out for, you can buy it now actually. So it's out everywhere now. So that's cool. That's your number five. My number four is a movie that I predict is going to get grown in my love for it and estimation. Actually, it has grown since our review, which is Under the Silver Lake.
And oh, really?
It's a movie that we were troubled figuring out in the review, and I feel like almost I want to redo that episode entirely. Mm-hmm. I've seen parts of it again. I'm setting up for a rewatch very soon because I think it's going to grow. I've been reading some reviews ever since our review of it, and I've been, you know, just looking up stuff, you know? And I think this movie, in my mind, has been growing. I apologize for the background. I can't fix anything about that. So here's the description. Sam, a disenchanted young man, finds a mysterious woman swimming in his apartment pool one night. The next morning, she disappears. Sam embarks on a surreal quest across Los Angeles to decode the secret behind her disappearance, leading him into the murkiest depths of mystery, scandal, and a conspiracy in the City of Angels. And this is made by the filmmaker who brought us It Follows, which is... I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but when it was everyone was like raving about it, and it definitely was raved about when it came out in theaters about 3 years ago. It stars Andrew Garfield, Riley Keough, Topher Grace, Kelly Hernandez, a bunch of people after that, Ricky Lindholm, for example. And what convinced me to rethink about this movie, Roth, and then in turn made me enjoy it more, made me think about, like, what did I actually want from this movie, and did I really get it, and I just been too stupid to see it. While I do think that Andrew Garfield does a really good job, and I wish other different actors were switched around or, like, different people were cast for it, I do think he does a good job of being this complete, utter, like, asshole. Like, you know, kind of, not a bad dude necessarily, but he's not a good person either, that he delves into this mystery. And it reminded me of other mysteries, like other movies that I love that do this. Like, you think of Inherent Vice or Chinatown. And I think it falls in that category
of conspiracy thing.
And it was—I don't remember our review. I just remember I wasn't sure.
Well, I told you it had that vibe.
Yeah, and I had, but now I think about it, it has more than that vibe. I think it has a very same elements. It's just set to modern day, and I think that a lot of the way it's showing the disenfranchised youth of America, leading up to that one scene where we both definitely enjoyed, where he meets that musical prodigy old guy. Which is so disheartening to my sensibilities because I know those songs, but also like it's such a powerhouse of a scene that it like, yeah, I think this movie deserves a second view. So I'm going to give it a full second view pretty soon, but I've been watching clips instead, like I said, and reading a lot of stuff on it. And I think I really enjoy it. So it's my number four right now. Under the Silver Lake. Check it out. It is not for everyone though. I will say that right now. It's a conspiracy fucking, Russian doll of a movie, right? All right, so what's your number four?
My number four is Us. It's Jordan Peele's second attempt at a movie.
Second attempt.
I say it like that, but like his first attempt was bad, but it's not.
No.
It was good. Yeah. So what I really like in this movie, there's stuff I hate in this movie, don't get me wrong. But what I do like in this movie is the fact that he, what's it called? He uses darkness, like the just dark in general, really well. Shadows, the creepiness, the world building, this crazy setup, and makes it believable. I thought it was really cool. I hate how it ends overall because it leaves it gigantically open. And it's also a little bit downplayed with like the fact that it's like a childhood's dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, like you can't fault that aspect of it because it is a child, you know, to a certain extent. So I don't know. I really did enjoy the movie. And it's a movie that I get asked a lot of what I think about. People always ask me this year so far. It's probably been it's pretty up there for how many times. Like, what do I think about it? And I have to tell everybody right away. It's not Get Out. Like it's not. It's a good movie. I go, but don't hold it to Get Out.
Yeah.
I go, they're two different movies.
Yeah.
And they're just the same director. I go, it's just like, it's like you're comparing, and I brought up Hitchcock. I was like, it's like you're comparing, what's it called, The Birds, you know, and what's it called, any other movie that Hitchcock has. Like, you can't compare them.
Yeah. Like, The Birds and fucking North by Northwest.
Right. Like, they're just, you just.
One's clearly a mystery. One's like a...
Right, or Dial M for Murder. You know, like, you can't compare them. I hate to tell you.
A good comparison would be the director of It Follows and Under the Silver Lake. They're both completely different movies, same director.
Yeah.
One's a horror movie, horror genre piece. This is a mystery box, crazy movie.
Right, exactly. Don't get me wrong. You can see similarities and stuff like that.
Definitely.
But, like, that's the director itself. But at the same time, I tell people, I'm like, it is the same genre and everything. He's making different movies, guys. Like, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I find myself defending this movie a lot. So, yeah, I did like it overall. I love the performance what's her name? Can't think of her name.
Yeah, from 12 Years a Slave. I forget her name.
Right. Yeah, she's got the Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
So I do love her performance overall. And like I said, I had a lot of fun. I think horror movies are becoming a movie genre that I'm appreciating more. So overall I had a lot of fun.
Nice. That's Us. Also out, everyone, to enjoy right now. My next one here was the number three now. My number three is a movie called High Life, which we never reviewed. I did mention in the recent discoveries, though. It takes place beyond the solar system in a future that seems like the present. About a group of criminals who accept a mission in space to become the subjects of a human reproduction experiment. They find themselves in the most unimaginable situation after a storm of cosmic rays hit the ship. That sounds like that's the plot of the movie, but also the plot is a father and his daughter struggle to survive in deep space where they live in isolation, which is the real plot, actually. And it stars Robin Pattinson, Juliette Binoche, a really, really sexy Juliette Binoche in this movie, considering how old she is. Andre Benjamin's in this, Mia Goth, Agatha Buzek, Lars Edinger, Claire Tran. It's written and directed by Claire Denis, a French filmmaker. This is her first American movie. And I really like Robin Pattinson's movies. And he's becoming a draw and a reason to watch movies sometimes for me when you think of this movie. And what's the one we saw last year where he played that vagabond guy who's trying to like get his brother out from the cops. Remember? It's driving me crazy. You know what I'm talking about? We reviewed it. I'm pretty sure we did anyway.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Good Time. Remember Good Time? Good Time. He's also in the Lost City of Z, right? He did that the Rover, which is a Cosmopolis, which is a big fan of mine. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I really like his career has been going on, and he's a really good actor, man, in this movie as well. And he plays everything very, very, you know, like. It's like a weird, strange combination in this movie where he does like stoic but constantly worried at the same time, you know.
Right.
And in this movie, it spans many years, and really the flashback of the crew, I mean the plot of the crew and why they're there and they're prisoners and they're being used for Juliette Binoche, the doctor, using them for reproduction experiments in space. It's like fucked up, but the space that they're in. It's like super used. It feels like they're inside a fancy apartment complex that's going haywire. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like they're in space. And obviously, it reminds you very well that it is. It's a strange movie that I don't have the time really or the inclination to give you all the examples as to why it's really good or what it made me think of. But I love the ending and the way it leads up to what is what is the nature of humanity versus what is important about it. And in many ways, this movie touches on that for sure. And the question it asks at the end, it's open space. It's an open-ended question because there is no answer. At least no answer that the movie can possibly provide you without looking, you know, like a total dick or ego-driven. So, like, the movie asks the right question at the end, staring into that void. And, it's pretty good that way. It's very French in that way, too. So, check it out for sure. This is my first Claire Denis movie. She's been doing movies for a long time. One of those directors I just don't know much about, but as far as her first, I'm sold on her. So High Life, available for everywhere. It's a definitely a sci-fi mystery movie. So that's my number three. What is your number three?
My number three is Greta.
Oh, nice. I really like Greta.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this movie, the thriller. It's a, I guess what you consider it, horror, I guess.
Yeah,
it's more like a thriller, I guess. It says thriller, mystery, drama. I just really love Isabella Huppert.
Yeah, who doesn't?
That's called in this movie. And it was actually really cool seeing her do this this role. Like, she felt normal. She felt like it was a normal role for her. It's just like over the top in certain aspects. Like, unbelievable in what she was doing, I guess, but she felt comfortable. Like, I have seen her act this way. And she was just like, this crazy lady. It was crazy. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did like the movie a lot. It was a cool, like, a lot of old school stuff. A lot of preying on people.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, old school, like, as in, like, old school, because she's very old school. With like, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, you know, or whatever. And I don't know how to do things because she feels like an older lady, right? But at the same time, she's very modern with the whole texting, the whole use of the phone, use of, like, she's actually not dumb. She just plays it dumb, which I think a lot of adults do. Instead of dealing with it, they just rather do play dumb, especially, like, parents. Like, just put effort into it. Like,
put effort.
How do you deal with it when I'm not here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like they figured it out. You can. You just don't want to.
It's like just a really well-made, like psycho kind of like movie, right?
Very much so. And I just really liked it. I
like Neil Jordan.
I don't know. Something about the whole story felt very hit kind of close to home. Because of like that whole, like, you want to be nice. I think most people are inherently nice. But, like, if you're a New Yorker, you're probably not. Because, like, you don't have to be this nice to people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just got to do about your own thing and take care of you. That's all you think about. That's all most New Yorkers think about. In comparison to, like, a Midwestern thing where, yeah, sure, go across the street. Sure, do this. Like, no. Like, that doesn't exist over there. You know? So there was that whole, like, aspect of it. And I'm just like, yeah, I probably would have fallen prey for that shit. You know, I would have tried to be the nice guy.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, I did like the story. Like overall, it was just cool. Very good acting overall. That's what I enjoyed most about the movie. And I do really appreciate the ending. It was a really cool ending.
Yeah, I really liked the ending too.
Especially when like she's explaining it, which I thought it was cool. Like I was like, that's badass. It was a very comeuppance ending.
Yeah, definitely. So that's Greta. Out Everywhere too. Unfortunately, didn't make it nearly as much money as it deserves, I think, because it's a really good movie that a lot of audiences would love to watch, just don't know about it, I guess. I don't know if it made that much money, is my point. Yeah. But pretty good movie. So that's your number three, right? My number two is a movie you've mentioned, our first double. It's Us.
Cool.
Us is my number two here, and family serene beach vacation turns to chaos when their doppelgangers appear to terrorize them. And this is a movie that... I agree with everything you're saying. It's a great genre piece. It's very inventive, and most of all, it hinges what makes this movie really great with capital G or amazing with a capital A is that Lupita Nyong'o is double performance, I should say. Lupita Nyong'o's double performance makes this movie that great. It's if it wasn't for that, the movie would feel more of a slog maybe, or you'd be questioning more motives. Like, it's amazing what her performance, how it both completely, it compels you to stare at it. It compels you.
That's a good. Really
compels
good.
You to ask questions about her, and it compels you to stare, and it compels you to wonder.
Yeah.
Not to question, but wonder, which is both mean the same thing, but not really. And I think this movie, I've seen it twice in theaters, and we reviewed it for sure on the show. Early, was it January, February?
I think February. Yeah. Might have been late January, but yeah. I'm not sure.
And it's I can't wait. It's another. It's one of those movies that that I love to rewatch. It's I feel no shame about doing that kind of thing. Also, you know, as far as originality goes, just other than Avatar, which was in 2009, I read this thing, and I guess it's true, is that this movie is the movie that made the most money that is original, that isn't based on anything. Adapted from
That's
anything.
Crazy.
It's the last movie that made this much money or more was Avatar.
That's bonkers. You know, I had to tell somebody, I was like, Avatar's an original IP. And I was like,
yeah.
And they're like, well, what does that mean? Originally, like, it's not from like, no, it's like, it came from the mind of James Cameron. And it is, there's nobody else that exists. It doesn't exist anywhere else besides him. And they're like, really? I was like, yeah, it's not a book. It's not anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, holy shit. And I was like, right. I go, that's what makes that movie even better. Like,
yeah, that is. And we should really support that kind of, those kind of movies. And I really like that Us made a lot of money because it's now the record to beat right now. I mean, not from everything.
Right, don't get me wrong. I love that a lot of stuff comes from books and everything. Those were original ideas as well, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you are just, you know, putting your interpretation of whatever the frick came from that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's something rare nowadays to see, and I appreciate it that it worked out in this movie. So that's
Sorry,
Us.
Stephen King.
Yeah, right. Poor guy. He has his own genre.
He does.
That's Us. That's my number two. What's your number two?
My number two, you're going to hate me because I'm just going to get superhero-y.
Endgame?
It's Spider-Man, Far From Home.
Oh, okay. Wow. Review that.
So, yeah, I really did enjoy this movie. It barely made the cut for half of the year. What's it called? And I enjoyed overall like the twist. I think we just recently reviewed this. Am I correct? It's our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed the whole twist. I really enjoyed the Spider-Man overall. I feel like it's good that we started further back than later, like in Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. And I know Andrew Garfield's was starting around the same time. But at this, I don't know, something about Andrew Garfield just didn't feel right. But this one does feel really good. It feels like a good mix of Spider-Man from like TV show and Spider-Man from comic books. And I think watching this and seeing Peter Parker grow more, not just Spider-Man, mm-hmm. which was really cool. I'm always totally into that, especially because that's a big thing in the Spider-Man comics and Spider-Man itself is that he's got both lives to lead, and it's hard, and he's trying to balance both, and especially after the aftermath of Endgame,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I thought, like I said, it was really cool. It's I really love the whole Mysterio thing. I just really liked it. Overall, it was a really cool thing, especially to see him with his spider-sense having to deal with it, because I refuse to see the other thing. What's it called? I really did enjoy having to see Peter Parker and not what made him Spider-Man, because we've seen that in the first one, But what, like, what is driving him as Peter Parker, as Spider-Man? Like, you know, how to, like, what's going to be his motivation now?
Top three villain, too, by the way.
For sure.
That almost made my list because of that alone.
For sure. I really did enjoy it. And I was very curious how they were going to do it. And also, I'm very worried for, what's the actor's name for Mysterio?
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal is, he's got, like, when he misses, he misses.
Mm-hmm.
And he misses, like, in a row. He doesn't just, and it's not his fault. The work sometimes just doesn't live up to par or whatever ends up happening. But, like, I feel like he'll have, like, three stinkers in a row. Mm-hmm. You'll be like, ooh, what's going to happen with Jake Gyllenhaal? And then you're like, oh, okay, something good. Like, yeah. You know.
I like how he always goes 100%, though, no matter what.
That's what I like about Jake Gyllenhaal
overall.
Even if
it fails, like,
right,
it just goes out.
I mean, I love him since Donnie Darko. So.
He has a very Jeffrey Rush feel. I don't know if you know Jeffrey Rush. Remember that actor?
Maybe.
Older now. Definitely older. And he always goes at 100 in everything he does. And sometimes to his detriment, he has a longer career than Jake Gyllenhaal, of course. But I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal is like the next. He's like carrying the baton of doing that always.
You know, but that's good on his aspect, right?
Yeah.
You got to go at 100 for everything. I just thought he did a really great job, especially with the twist. So, yeah. It's a super great superhero movie, especially just how they followed up with it. And I just think it was just a great, really good Spider-Man movie. Not even just to put it like, I hate to say Spider-Man has almost got his own little like subgenre in the superhero aspects because he's had already like so many intros, so many other Spider-Man movie like offsets. Now we have with the Miles Morales thing, the Spider-Verse and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not just one Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
So I really did enjoy this one.
Cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, too. That's Spider-Man Far From Home. I almost say Homecoming every time because they have both home in the title. Right? So
I wonder what the third one's going to be.
Homeless.
Ooh.
Right? Because he's running around?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Hey, pay me, Marvel. Pay me. Anyway, my number whatever. Number one is a movie that we reviewed here that it's a strange movie because it technically came out 2 years ago, but it really actually came out to American audiences this year. And it came out in like a small run theaters, I believe, but it really came out in VOD for realsies. It's Perfect Strangers.
For realsies?
For realsies. It is Perfect Strangers, or, you know, Perfectos Desconocidos. Last time I'll say it in Spanish. Seven friends gather for dinner and decide to play a game in which all incoming messages and calls will be on display for the entire group, leading to a series of revelations that gradually unravels their quote unquote normal lives. And it stars a bunch of Spanish actors in this movie from Spain. Belén Reda, Eduard Fernandez, Ernesto Alterio, Juana Acosta, Eduardo Noriega, Daphne? Fernandez, Pepón Nieto, and other actors as well. Alex de la Iglesia wrote and directed the movie. This is one of those movies that's a one-location movie. And it's about these best friends, you know, basically three couples and then a seventh wheel friend of theirs who could not bring his better half. And it's all conversation. And you think that a movie that is all dialogue wouldn't require all the attention that this movie deserves. But it does require all that attention because it isn't just about what they talk about. And it isn't just about the game. The game is just a setup for the secrets. The amount of secrets they think they should be hiding from their betters or their friends or their loved ones, but the secrets that isn't as important to hide or that is, you know, wildly blown out of proportion. You think of the proportion of these secrets is also wildly miscalculated in the course of this movie and exaggerated or de-exaggerated or whatever the opposite of that, deflated. It's an amazing movie. It's a really wonderful, like, complex thing at humanity. Like, it's one of those movies like, oh, Alien, you want to know about humans? Watch this movie. You can watch this. And I'll show you a few others, but, like, you can watch this one, too. And there'll be a way, like, this is how humans work. Obviously, it's not true. It's all sensationalized. It's a drama movie, but it's really hilarious, and it does go at the core of how we feel and how we relate to technology and relying on technology, too, to keep our secrets from everyone else. Like, help us. Like, it's like the cell phone, the smartphone is an accomplice, you know, to how we enrich or, you know, make us or destabilize our lives. And it's really fun that way. And it's a really great movie. It's a very tight script, not super long either. Perfect Strangers, check it out.
Yeah, this would have been my top five had I remember this came out this year. I felt like it was a movie that came out last year for some reason.
No, I mean, like I said, it came out in Spain, I think, or was done in 2017.
I think it's because I looked it up, 18. And I was like, oh, it's the year. I just didn't think about it. Yeah, but it would have been my top five. Yeah. I had a lot of fun watching this movie.
Yeah.
Even my wife was like, what are you watching? It's very interesting. And I was like, right, exactly.
Can I see your wife saying that?
Yeah. So that's what happened with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So number cool. one?
Good. My number one, like I said, very superhero. It's Endgame. It's Avengers cool. Endgame. It's I really fucking enjoy the heck out of this movie. I thought it was a great way to end a lot of things in this movie. I mean, I think it's been spoiled to hell, but I'm not going to spoil it anyways. Or minute whatever things I can say.
Now that it's back in theaters.
It's back in theaters. I'm not watching it back in theaters. I love the hell out of the movie, but I'll wait till it comes out on Netflix or something.
I know. I thought it'd be out on Blu-ray by now, but no, they had to be re-listed.
I know. Anyways, like I said, I really appreciated this movie, how it ended a lot of things, how we got around the whole thing. I love that it used other characters and not... Like, I felt like it used the main characters because it had to, because it's an Avengers movie still, but it still revolved around the fact that there's other Marvel characters to use, and you're almost passing the torch on to these people because they are the next people that are going to be in your big movies now. We have standalone movies for these next actors that are up and coming, you know, or not up and coming, but I've already started their stuff, and now we need to get through their stories or whatever we're going to do with them according to Marvel aspects.
Yeah.
It was action galore, but I like that the movie was obviously emotional. The movie let it breathe from the action. There was quite a few times where there's no action.
I would say that the Infinity War had more action, probably.
Infinity War had more. I 100% agree with you. This one just had that last like 20 minutes of action or something, and the beginning a little bit. But it was really cool just to see a lot of these characters either grow or and just see how...
What is it called? Time Heist?
Yeah, the Time Heist. It was a really fun thing to watch. And the fact that they sold it, I think you almost needed Infinity War to be all that action to get a break in this aspect, to be like, we need to actually give you guys... Like, we need to make you love these characters for a reason, not just because they fight and it's cool. You know? And I really did appreciate that in this movie. What's it called? Even though... Fat Thor we got, which was interesting, but yeah. It was cool. It was a really cool aspect. I think Captain America is still like one of my favorite characters, and I just really did love all the characters in the movie. And it was really fun to watch two times in theaters. Actually, it might have been three.
That's not twice. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, definitely a lot of fun. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a good way to end whatever phase that it was.
That's right. Yeah, it's like it's probably my favorite of the blockbustery spectacle superheroes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would say that's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, I mean they did. Like I said, they overall is like that whole for hyping up a character like Thanos. I think they did a really good job of making that aspect of like overall they did a really good job of how Thanos was involved in like how much of a villain he really was.
Yeah.
It wasn't underplayed like. Certain characters, certain villains in other movies.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, so that's our top five. That's number one. Those are our top five best movies of the year so far. Obviously, this will dramatically change by the end of the year.
100%.
It always does. And just give our honorable mentions. I will start off. And my honorable mentions, I basically made a top 10. So I'm just going to say my 6 through 10 real quick, and that's it. My number 6 is Avengers Endgame, Ralph. And my number 7 is Booksmart.
I didn't see it, but I'll watch it.
Oh, man, it's fun.
I know.
It's my number 8 is Her Smell, which we reviewed here, I believe. And my number 9 is Deadwood the Movie. That's how much I love that one. And number 10 is a wonky movie that I really enjoyed and enjoy thinking about. It's Velvet Buzzsaw, which is another Jake Gyllenhaal over-the-top performance right there that I really, really loved him in that movie. That's my normal mentions. What do you got?
Yeah, I had Velvet Buzzsaw in my I just forgot to write it. Thought about it right now. Again, I thought it was I thought I saw it in December.
Nope.
But it wasn't. It was like that Netflix February or January release. For sure. Glass was definitely on there. I actually liked Shazam a lot for what it did.
Yeah.
That was a really fun one too.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. That was a really fun one for me as well. But yeah, and then obviously Perfect is Escuro.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's in the, I don't know. I just spaced. I was looking through, and it's funny because I had them all in a list of what I've seen this year.
Yeah.
But the first half of my list is like movies that came out in 2018. The first maybe five movies because I was catching up from 2018, and I just thought a lot of them when I clicked on them and I'm like, I was just doing IMDb research. I was like, huh, I guess that was a 2018 thing. But you know how IMDb does the whole like it came out and like con for 2018.
Right. And right. Like, but then you
look at
the that.
Film, right, exactly. Right. Then you look at film release. Oh, release in the U.S. at 29. Like, fuck you. Like, right. I forgot. Like, why don't you just put the release that I want?
Yeah.
The release that well, I get right. what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's impossible to do it.
Right, right.
To please everyone.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's besides the point.
All right, so that's our top five. So we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll do a much shorter segment because it'll just be the most anticipated movies
for, sure.
for the rest of the year. So stay with us.
You're magic, like me.
I need you to listen to me. The world's a hungry place, a dark place.
Hi there.
I only met two or three people like us. They died. When I was a kid, I bumped into these things. Know about magic. I always called it the Shining.
Welcome back. Let's start with our most anticipated movies of 2019. And Rafi, you're going to start us off this time.
I have no order, so I'm just going to go in the order that they're probably coming out.
Oh,
so.
Really? You went in that order? I actually picked my favorites.
Did you? I have no order favorites because I tend to not watch trailers, like I've said to you.
Yeah.
I read a lot of stuff, and I go a lot by like, have you heard of this? No, that's coming out. You know.
I've only seen one of the trailers out of my top five. so it's all based on like...
Actually, me too.
Cast and crew.
Me too.
Basically,
yeah. But, and this is the first. This is the first one I'm gonna put. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Fuck. It's Quentin Tarantino. That was
right.
Gonna be
right.
And it looks like a Jackie Brown kind of style.
Which is like one of his best, man.
You know what's funny is like it's like a Jackie Brown. What's it called? Of just like it's gonna be heavy dialogue. It's gonna be heavy story about one character. About you know not just a bunch of characters or a bunch of you know things where one main person that we think is a main person like in Pulp Fiction.
Well, we actually don't know. The trailer could be misleading.
Right. It could be. But at the same time, it feels like we're focusing a lot more on that. This is the one trailer I've seen, and way more modern than any of his other stuff that we've seen, except for like Pulp Fiction. But you know, that's where he started off with. He started off with. During the times of his, you know, it was during the times that he was.
But also,
movies.
Like that movie, feels like it's from the '70s because everyone's dressed differently.
Well, it does, like you know, and
talks differently.
Right, exactly. Hmm. It does feel that, but it does feel like modern to what I guess what we're talking about and what we feel. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Under the Silver Lake and this movie as well, it feels like we're talking about LA and LA people and the movies and stuff like that. So I'm highly interested in this movie.
Yeah. Do you know about the serial killing connection?
In this one?
Yeah.
I there's a hint to it. So
on the SOS show again, we did a three-part show on Manson. And this everything in here is happening during those murders.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just letting you know.
Interesting.
And some of those actors' names, some of the characters' names in that movie are the same.
Yeah. And I love that from what it looks like from the trailer, like I said, it looks like he's making fun of himself. Movies. Like with Inglourious Basterds, for example.
Yeah.
And just like... I don't know. It looks like he's making fun of himself.
Yeah. I wonder how he's going to use Brad Pitt because he used him kind of like an American muscle dolt in Inglourious.
He's here to take his load.
Right.
Love that fucking scene.
Yeah, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
All right, so that's your number five, right?
We'll call it that. Yeah, that way.
My number five is a movie called The Hunt, made by Craig.
All right.
What?
I read the synopsis of this.
Oh, wow. You know about this too. Okay.
Yeah, it's in my honorable mentions.
Okay, cool. Craig Sobel. It's a horror thriller. I'm not going to read the synopsis.
Yeah, Hilary Swank. Haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, well, I saw her in I Am Mother, which I mentioned recently. But yes, she has been a little AWOL.
Yeah.
And the only reason is because of the director, and Hilary Swank, too. It counts as a good reason why I want to see it. And Craig Sobel did a movie called Compliance.
Okay.
Which is
I saw that too. Yeah.
A big hit in my estimation because of how horrible it made me feel. And I think any movie that succeeds so well at doing that kind of thing, maybe the guy has a talent for that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Not to mention, he's one of the head writers for, with Damon Lindelof, by the way, of The Leftovers. There's several episodes. And the Watchmen HBO series, which I hear amazing things about, and Lost.
Yeah.
So this guy is pretty solid in my estimation.
Right, in your estimation, he's fucking amazing. Yeah.
He's for me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's my number five, The Hunt.
Okay. My number four, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, it's It, Chapter 2.
Nice.
Nice. Horror. That's fucking. I'm loving this iteration. It's a horror movie.
Oh, I just like saying that.
Not a whore. Anyways, I'm gonna give you the quick. What's it called?
It Comes Back for Revenge.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that was gonna be. But Bill Skarsgård plays Pennywise the Clown.
Hmm. Yeah. That's right.
We have Jessica Chastain playing the adult one. Beverly Marsh, James McAvoy playing Bill. What's it called? Who else do we have? Bill Hader plays Richie.
Really?
Jake Weary plays John Webby.
Wow.
Jay Ryan plays Ben Hanscom. Who else is in there?
Your mom.
Yeah. That's. I'm trying to think of other people that are in this movie. No, that are big enough. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I want to say I haven't. I took my wife to see this movie with Chapter 1. And she was fucking freaked out about it and everything. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had my moments with it.
Yeah.
But I'm really liking that I think they're paying really good homage to, they're like fixing what they did for the TV movie when they came out.
Yeah.
And, it just looks like a really good Stephen King adaptation, of this movie.
It looks like a really nice blockbuster version of Stephen King adaptation.
Right. But that's what we want. They want to make it to the masses, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, really fucking good. And it looks like it's so part one.
I
really
will
good.
Be there if they
I
want
mean,
to.
It was everywhere.
I definitely was entertained by the first one. Like, I loved it like everyone, but
no, but
I was entertained.
It's one of those movies that you know everyone's watching.
Yeah.
And like, you want to go see this with a crowd.
Yeah.
Like,
that, definitely.
See
that's exactly
reactions.
What this movie is.
I'm looking forward to
it. It too will be that
for
way.
For that reason, exactly.
Very cool. So that's number four. What's it called? It 2?
It Chapter 2.
It Chapter 2. Right. Okay.
It 2.
It 2. I don't know. It 2 per se. All right. My number four is a movie called Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Which I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this. This is the one I've seen the trailer for. It's a Richard Linklater movie, and that's all I need.
Yeah.
The before trilogy guy, the fucking, he did Bernie, which is, I think this movie fits in that Bernie category, which is one of his lower tier, not very well known movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, like, maybe like Bernie, it'll be like a hit for me. It'll be like a nice, like, fun movie. And it stars, that girl with the face.
Super helpful.
No. I always forget her name. I didn't write it on here, but, it's a dramedy and a mystery. And, you know, the director and the cast and the tone is very strange and kind of quirky but cute, and it could be better than that even. So that's why I want to see this. Oh, my God. Why are you being – I guess I have to type in Bernadette because I really forgot her name, and sometimes I'm really bad with names. Cate Blanchett is the main star. And Cate Blanchett is also a very good reason why I go see a movie. So she usually never fails for me. So that's my number four. Very simple. Richard Linklater, you know, the guy who did, was that movie, the high school movie he did. I made so many movies. I know he uses Ethan Hawke a lot, but there's a movie where everyone from the 80s.
Days and Confused?
Days and Confused, thank you. Yeah. Days and Confused.
And then he did the college one,
Well, I didn't like the college one so much.
No, but he did it.
Yeah, he did that one too. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I'm super excited. That's my number four.
Cool. My number three is Dr. Sleep.
Fuck you. It's my number three too.
Perfect. I'm totally looking forward to this, and I found out that the guy who did Haunting of Hill House or whatever is the director. Same
and
guy.
And Gerald's Game, which is another Stephen King adaptation.
Right. I didn't see that one, so I can't say
it. Oh, wow. You can't see it.
I know you told me to. So yeah, I love the book. I'm totally looking forward to this. And it's freaking Ian McGregor.
Ewan
McGregor playing the guy, so that's super interesting.
Playing Danny Torrance,
and also Danny Torrance.
The girl from Fallout, Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah, she plays the head villain, mm-hmm. the vampire shit. Oh my God, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
She's going to kill it. She has that
I'm
look.
I'm totally
completely.
Looking forward to this movie.
Yes.
I'm looking at pictures and it's obviously shining stuff.
Guys,
it's
energy vampires in Winnebagoes. It's, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
At least in the book.
It does sound ridiculous, but awesome as well. So, did you want to add anything to it?
No, man. The guy who did Hush, obviously, Oculus, the guy's never made I don't think he's made one bad movie in his life. And I've seen them all, I think, except for maybe his first one. I don't know what that was. But Mike Flanagan is a pretty solid genre director. He loves horror. He has been doing only horror. And I think his skills are even growing as we speak. And especially with The Haunting of Hill House, that was a big hit for Netflix and culturally speaking. Okay. And I think this guy can do no wrong, in my opinion. Dr. Sleep is perfect for him. I can't wait to see it.
Likewise. My number two, then.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is Rian Johnson's latest movie.
Knives Out.
Knives Out.
Nice.
Yeah, so I don't know anything about it. This is the cast. I saw the cast. This is crazy. Yes. So it's Ana de Armas, Chris Evans, Daniel Craig, Toni Collette, mm-hmm. Michael Shannon, which what's going on here? What's it called? Jamie Lee Curtis is in this.
Yeah.
Lakeith Stanfield. Bro, I'm into this movie.
Like, yeah, right? The cast is awesome.
This cast looks amazing. And he wrote it. He wrote it as well. It's written and directed by him.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean.
He usually writes his own stuff.
We're talking about Rian Johnson here. Brick, Looper, right. Stuff like that. So, totally looking forward to this movie.
All right. So, that's my number six, that's right. I'm not to spoil my honorable mentions now, but that's how close it was. My number two is another horror piece. I put the two horrors together. It's The Nightingale by Jennifer Kent.
What's that one?
Set in 1825, Claire, a young Irish convict woman, chases a British officer through the rugged Tasmanian wilderness, bent on revenge for a terrible act of violence he committed against her family. On the way, she enlists the services of an Aboriginal tracker named Billy, who is also marked by trauma in his own violent filled past. This is not exactly directed as a horror, just like her last movie, which is The Babadook, and the reason I want to see this movie. And that is really all I need. It's like a period piece road trip movie, but it's like in the vein of The Proposition, for example, which is an amazing Australian film. I think it's in the same vein of that, or like a Bone Tomahawk type, maybe, or something like that. A great adult period drama, but with a lot of violence and trauma set into it. It could be amazing. So hopefully she does really good there. It's her second movie, so I mean, I don't know enough yet. I'm just basing it off of Babadook's stuff, but yeah, The Nightingale, my number two.
Nice, very nice. My last one is it's something in me. I don't know why. I do know why. I just really love
I
just really love everything about the movies and everything. Oh my God, it's Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. I mean, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I really am. I want to see how they can wrap it up. I really did enjoy the first one. Second one was. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I didn't hate it, right?
Yeah,
I've liked everything in between, even the solo movie. What's it called? Liked,
right? No, yeah.
Rogue One, for sure loved.
Yeah,
one of my favorite movies. That's come out for Star Wars, and since the original trilogy. Rise of Skywalker. I'm totally looking forward to this, and I hear that the actress, I think she's done with the. She's not doing anything else after this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll see. How it goes after this movie.
Well, they probably could afford retiring if they wanted to.
Probably can. So, yeah, probably. I am looking forward to this movie. And, I don't know, J.J. Abrams, just add a little something.
I mean, J.J. Abrams, for me, is a hit or miss, but he's really good at the big stuff, blockbuster
stuff. He is, yeah. So,
I'm sure it'll be fun, at least. So, that's, what's it called again? Rise of Skywalker?
Rise
of Skywalker, sorry.
Yeah.
All right, that's your number one. My number one is a movie called Ad Astra. Have you seen it or heard of it?
You know what? I think I walked into my Stuber, supposed to be Crawl, end of previews, and I could have sworn I saw Ad Astra on there. But
okay.
I wasn't paying attention. So, all
right. This is another, much like High Life, it's a sci-fi mystery thriller. Mm-hmm. It is set in space. General description is an astronaut travels to the outer edges of the solar system to find his father and unravel a mystery that threatens the survival of our planet. I think that's very gisty, which is, thank God, I don't want to know any more specifics.
Wait, is this Brad Pitt?
It is Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Liv Tyler, Tamela Lee Jones probably plays the father. Donald Sutherland, supposedly in this movie.
Interesting.
John Ortiz, Ruth Negga. And it's the reason is the direction, of course, is the director of James Gray. And it's probably his biggest movie and also his most anticipated movie because he's typically known as a, you know, not a low-tier director, but not a high-profile one. And this guy did The Immigrant, Two Lovers. He did The Lost City of Z, which we loved.
Yeah.
The guy is amazing with the flourishes, amazing with the visuals. He has amazing composition and mise-en-scène. I love his movies overall. He wrote and directed this one, so we know it's going to be filled with awesome, I don't know, humanity. I mean, I know that you liked Lost City of Z like I did, right?
I did, yeah. It was a really good movie.
So, I don't know. I think
I was very on the fence to watch it, though. It was one of those movies that
A lot of people react that way, I would say. And I think that it's, you know, it's their detriment. You know, he also did We Own the Night, which is kind of a slightly big movie. He did The Yards, you know, a bunch of movies.
So what I heard is you're not looking forward to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. So I would actually call this my it's too close to the date here.
Sure.
So I just excluded all of July.
Oh, okay.
That's what I told myself.
Good excuse.
Yeah, I know you're going to put it on yours. Of course, I'm looking for Once Upon a Time.
All right, I'll give you my honorable mention real quick. Ready or Not?
Yeah.
Actually, someone brought it up to me, and I was like,
that trailer looks squawk punkers as well.
You know, I think I caught the end of a trailer, something about a hide-and-seek thing or something, right? Yeah. Hobbs and Shaw.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to that. I put The Hunt on mine as well, that you put. Joker, only because of Joaquin Phoenix. So I'm looking forward to Joker for that reason. I'm actually looking forward to. I was going to put this in my top. This is probably my number like six. It's Ferrari versus Bridges? Ford.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. You're like, wait, which movie is
that? I said 21 Bridges.
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you might like it when you see it.
What'd you say?
You'll enjoy the trailer.
Yeah, it's Ford versus Ferrari. My apologies.
I don't know this movie.
And it's James Mangold's latest movie.
Oh, no, I like that trailer.
And it's got Christian Bale, Matt Damon, John Bernthal. What's it called? Got a couple other people in there. I don't know how to say her name. Very first person.
Catriona?
Yeah, I guess so, right? Catriona Balfe. So yeah, it's supposed to be a biopic for Cars. Yeah, I'm sold.
Yeah.
So it's about I guess the Shelby. And then the Ferrari, like the differences.
Yeah, definitely.
I know the story.
One's mainstream, one's like for a certain type, right? Like they have different reputations. Yeah.
Well, even the Shelby is like, they're race cars. They're supposed to be race cars.
Oh, okay. This is about race cars. Okay, race cars. I wasn't sure. Yeah. Okay.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. Also, Zombieland 2 coming out.
I heard.
Same cast.
It's called Double Tap, right? Isn't one of that?
It's called Double Tap, yeah, exactly.
It's a good sequel title.
Right. This other movie that that I'm interested in, it's Edward Norton's directing it. It's called Motherless Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in that.
I saw that.
It's got a crazy cast
as
well.
My longer list.
Bruce Willis, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Ethan Suplee. Yeah.
All right.
So
my honorable mentions are, well, my 6 through 10 is Knives Out, Gemini Man, which is Ang Lee's movie with Will Smith.
Are you looking forward to that? I've seen that trailer so many times.
I'm looking forward with that director.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you've seen the trailer a thousand times.
Am I
going to
watch it?
The movie.
Yeah, but.
The movie called The Woman in the Window, which looks pretty good. I forgot who wrote it or whatever, but I have one as a comedy here, Good Boys, which is a...
Saw that trailer today, actually.
Yeah, it looks really funny. It's like preteen Superbad.
Yeah, it looks a little bit forced, but I don't know, what I saw from the trailer.
We'll see. And last one I have here is Joker, for the same reasons you said.
For the same reason I said, right?
Yeah, you know, it could be anything. I did stumble on that trailer too recently, but...
I think horror movies are... making more mainstream.
I want to say Joker is a horror movie.
No, I picked like a lot of horror movies.
I see.
We have Dr. Sleep, which I think would consider like a horror thriller.
The One in the Window is like a modern, different version of a Rear Window, I think it's supposed to be, because she's supposed to be like, I forget who the main actress, it's a big actress, I just forget who her name was. I think it's Natalie Portman.
Oh, okay.
It's like a stuck at home kind of thing, and she kind of like, you know,
interesting
in the movie anyway. And yeah, I would say The Hunt seems like one of those types, like, yeah,
the
Doctor Sleep for sure. Nightingale,
from what I read in the synopsis,
yeah,
is what's that fucking Japanese thing?
Island,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yeah, with the kids.
I own the movie too. I own both of them. We're horrible people.
Battle Royale,
yeah, nice. Reminds me of that a little bit, only not to the other. The other version of it.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Okay, cool. So that's it. That's where our top fives are. And we're going to take We're going to say I'll take a quick break, but no, we're not. We're going to cut the show there. You have been listening to another movie podcast. We don't have the next roster for the next films right now, so it'll be TBD. Check our website to find out what those movies are. Until then, though, if you want to send feedback, you can do so at podmoviecast@gmail.com. And you can follow me personally on Twitter and on Letterboxd under Armen Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ralph?
You can follow me at non-Twitter at GamerRalph. That is with two R's and an F.
Very cool. Okay. We're about weekly show, so see you guys in 2 weeks. Until then, I'm Oscar.
Yes, he is.
Nice. Later.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie, oh my.
And you didn't hear it from me.